Imagine a grandmother being publicly labeled bigoted by a prime minister simply for expressing concerns about immigration. This wasn't fiction, but reality for Gillian Duffy during Britain's 2010 election campaign. Gordon Brown's hot mic moment exposed a profound disconnect between political elites and ordinary citizens regarding the most dramatic social transformation in modern British history. Within a single lifetime, Britain shifted from a largely homogeneous nation to one of Europe's most diverse countries, all without meaningful public debate or consent. This unprecedented demographic experiment raises uncomfortable questions about social cohesion, economic equality, and democratic institutions that mainstream politicians have long avoided addressing. Britain was never historically a nation of immigrants. Genetic research shows 3/4 of British ancestors arrived before the first farmers, with minimal genetic impact from later invasions. Until 1948, non-European immigration was extremely rare. The arrival of the Empire Windrush that year, carrying 492 West Indians, marked the beginning of a new era that accelerated dramatically over subsequent decades. By 2009, 25% of births in Britain were to foreign-born mothers, and white Britons had become a minority in London. Why did Britain embrace such dramatic demographic change with so little debate? The answer lies partly in 20th century trauma. The First World War shattered Western confidence in civilization and patriotism. This disillusionment, followed by Hitler's rise and the Holocaust, undermined Europeans' faith in their own societies. Our generation lives in Auschwitz's shadow. History became framed by Nazi atrocities, colonialism, and civil rights struggles. Racism became the defining moral wrong, similar to Victorian sexual impropriety, making rational immigration discussion nearly impossible. Christopher Caldwell observed that Europe's decision to welcome millions of foreigners was made at a time when it was not of sound mind and body, with Muslim immigration being unthinkable without the anguished moral self-examination the Holocaust brought. Universalism emerged as a reaction to scientific racism, with thinkers arguing that races and ethnic groups are merely social constructs and nations artificial creations. Once this premise is accepted, opposing immigration becomes morally unjustifiable. Just 50 years ago, nations based largely on ancestry were widely accepted outside the West. Today, arguing for nationhood based even partly on blood invites moral condemnation, a revolutionary shift in thinking. The economic case for mass immigration merges cultural radicalism with economic liberalism, do good and get rich by importing workers from developing countries. This approach overlooks that labor shortages are temporary while immigration is permanent. When new labor faced labor shortages alongside 5.8 million benefit claimants, they chose immigration over welfare reform, creating a situation where Polish arrivals found jobs while unemployment remained high in inner London. This arrangement benefits large corporations seeking cheap labor, homeowners watching property values rise, and middle-class professionals employing immigrant services. Meanwhile, the working poor experience wage depression. Each 1% increase in immigrant-to-native ratio decreases wages for the lowest 10% of earners by 0.5%. Immigration's hidden costs include infrastructure demands, integration programs, and environmental impacts from increased population density. At current immigration levels, Britain's population will reach 91.9 million by century's end versus 57.3 million with zero immigration. Have you wondered why the most egalitarian societies tend to be homogeneous? This reveals what David Willetts called the progressive dilemma. Liberals typically want both Scandinavian-style welfare and American-style diversity, yet these desires conflict. Welfare systems require seeing benefit recipients as similar to ourselves, which becomes harder as values and lifestyles diversify. Robert Putnam's research found ethnic diversity correlates with lower social trust and reduced investment in public goods. People living near those of different races more often oppose welfare spending. Harvard economists found that roughly half of Americans' resistance to European-style socialism could be explained by ethnic diversity, with more diverse states spending less on social services. Both the U.S. and Britain have become steadily more unequal as they've grown more diverse. By 2007-08, Britain reached its highest post-WW2 income inequality, with the bottom 50% seeing their wealth share plummet from 12% in 1976 to just 1% by 2003. The universalism that opposes all discrimination follows the Platonic tradition, morally difficult to argue against, but unworkable in reality. Evidence suggests migration itself, not just discrimination, may contribute to mental illness. Studies consistently show elevated rates of serious mental illness across all migrant groups, regardless of destination country or time period. This impact extends to native populations, too. Tim Lott's mother's suicide note, "I hate Sawthaw, I feel so alone," reflects the disorientation many experience as communities transform. Declining social trust correlates with rising crime rates, while modern individualism and consumerism foster depression when traditional buffers of religion, country, and family weaken. The fundamental tension in diverse societies exists between bonding social capital within groups and bridging capital between groups. Putnam's research reveals that diversity often causes everyone to withdraw socially, decreasing trust both between and within racial groups. Rather than making people more open-minded, diversity frequently leads to broader social withdrawal. Diversity was conceived as a liberal idea, yet paradoxically, as society becomes more diverse, it grows less liberal. The belief that ethnic divisions can be eliminated through interaction inevitably fails, leading to increasingly coercive state intervention to maintain peace. As diversity increases, so does the state apparatus needed to manage it. Britain now has 116 anti-discrimination laws covering race, sex, sexuality, religion, and disability. Indirect discrimination creates legal ambiguity that terrifies small businesses unable to afford legal battles. After 2010, the burden of proof in race discrimination cases shifted to employers. Once a complainant showed disadvantage, the employer had to prove it wasn't discrimination. Hate crime legislation has expanded dramatically, with even minor rudeness potentially classified as a hate crime, resulting in 50,000 racist incidents logged in schools annually. Traditional English legal practices have been modified to accommodate diversity concerns, sometimes requiring police representatives to confess to racism even in their private thoughts. When faced with evidence contradicting deeply held beliefs, people often double down rather than change their minds. This cognitive dissonance appears in diversity debates, where advocates respond defensively to criticism, framing multiculturalism as inevitable while using euphemisms like challenges instead of problems. A balanced approach requires rejecting unlimited globalism while acknowledging diversity's benefits when properly managed. Nation-states, despite imperfections, have proven most successful at maintaining democratic institutions and social progress. For Britain, this means reasserting border control, designing immigration policies that maintain stable demographics while welcoming skilled immigrants, and restricting foreign funding of religious institutions. A robust national identity remains crucial for social cohesion. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks noted about his immigrant parents, they were proud to be English because the English were proud to be English. Indeed, in the absence of pride, there can be no identity at all. Successful integration requires both a confident host culture and willing participants in that cultural framework. Without this balance, the diversity experiment risks undermining the very liberal society it claims to enhance.